Hi, and welcome to Waking Up the Neighbors. I'm your host, Jeffrey Allen, and sitting with me today for this very special episode, right across from me is my good friend JD. What's up, brother? Yeah, we've got a time-sensitive podcast that we're trying to get out, and it's about something that everybody should care about, and that's water, right?
Yep, that's the biggest mining capital in the area we live in.
Yeah, and we've got somebody here who's, I think he's an expert. You think he's kind of an expert, but he doesn't think of himself as an expert in this field.
Well, let me tell you, he knows a hell of a lot more than I do, so to me, he's an expert compared to mine.
All right, so for the first time ever here on the podcast, let's welcome in Waterdam. Waterdam, how are you, man?
Yeah, speaker, there you go.
Doing well, guys. How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for taking the time to be here today, first of all, waking up the neighbors. Tell everybody a little bit about your background and why you know so much about water, briefly, without giving it too much away.
Well, I'd agree with you. I probably don't know as much as some, but I do know more than maybe most. So we farmed in this area since we have an original land grant back to 1893.
Oh, man.
It's been long, long lasting. And so it's ingrained in me, you know, from a genetic level, I'd say. And water's been something we've been dealing with for a long time. I mean, if you think back to the start of this valley, to even not too long ago back on the west side, I mean, water's been a big problem. And it's just supply of water, right? Yeah. And this is a different form of water now. This is groundwater that we're talking about, and specifically Sigma. But it's gonna touch every aspect of this valley one way or another. And I think podcasts like this are gonna be crucial in getting the information out and you know, trying to become part of the solution.
And you said, what affects this particular, JD, what bill are we talking about? Do you have the name of it?
Yes, Proposition 218.
Proposition 218. And what Waterdam said is that this will tax the groundwater that farmers are tapping into for their fields, for their crops, right?
Yeah, more or less. It's a little more nuanced than that. A Prop 218 election is kind of an overarching term of a method of taxing people to fund a program. So there are 218 elections in a lot of different aspects. But the main backbone here is something called Sigma. So this was passed in 2014. And it's all around regulating the amount of groundwater that we can pull out and extract out of the aquifers below our feet and use for things like agriculture. The state of California is actually incredibly one of the last states to do this. Other states in the union already regulate groundwater to some degree. The scary thing though is that our state is pretty radical, and so they've taken no less action now in being more radical in this.
Yeah.
But in 2014 it was passed. They've been working on forming different districts called GSAs, or groundwater sustainability agencies. And we sit in one right here now. And this agency now is putting together what's called the GSP, which is a groundwater sustainability plan. And they need to put those together and submit it to the state for approval. And thus far, we have not been successful in doing that. And so what's on the ballot now is that within the Mid-Kings GSA, which is another one of those GSAs, they want to pass a 218 election to tax the grower to fund this program. Which I'm not a fan of taxes. I feel like if my taxes went to military or first responders or something like that, or we had better allocations of funds, I would be all for that kind of stuff. But the fact that they just light on fire and spend on stuff that I really don't agree with, I'm adverse to taxes initially.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are we. We don't.
Yeah. Right. I think you guys probably feel the same, right?
Oh, definitely.
Remember when Bush ran for president, Bush Senior? You're not. No,
read my lips.
No taxes.
Yeah.
He reneged on that right away.
No politician should ever say that.
Yeah. It's almost impossible.
It's not even in their control, really.
Well, no. Democrats now, or the left, they think that, you know, there hasn't been very many new taxes imposed, but they don't see inflation as a hidden tax that we've all been paying for for the last couple of years. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, a loaf of bread's $35 now.
Yeah.
It's getting there, man. It is, especially if you want the brioche buns. So the key word here that I heard you say is sustainability. The groundwater sustainability plan, right?
Correct.
A GSP. here in the Valley, we've been getting replenished with rainfall heartily over the last year or two, especially last year. We had so much rains that it caused some flooding.
Oh, yeah.
Tulare Lake came back last year. It's now gone away, but who knows what's going to happen, you know, this coming year, right?
Correct.
If it fills back up again. So sustainability of groundwater, it seems like it's plentiful over the last couple of years. Why are we pushing this through right now, in your opinion?
You know, this is a continuation of, like I mentioned, what was passed in 2014. And the state doesn't look at it as a one-year thing. And really, it comes down to the genesis of that. We have plenty of water in the state. We do. We have plenty of water for the people. We just manage it like shit.
Our government does everything like shit.
Exactly. They manage everything. And the overarching thing of this is this would not be a problem if our state would put more infrastructure in to convey the water that we do have in this state. But the fact of the matter is we blow a lot of it out through the Delta, right, to keep salt water from intruding into the Delta, which could be solved in other ways to maintain water. We don't want to turn pumps on because of a fish. We don't want to do this. We have all this water that goes for all these environmental reasons of trying to get trout into a river that they were never part of or weren't part of for a long time. And long story short is that we are more focused on things other than human beings thriving. And so for growers, they have to rely on groundwater a lot of times to grow these crops, which really drives the economy of Kings County and provides a lot of economic benefit. But now they want to regulate that. And you would think with all this water that we had coming down last year, like say the lake filled up, we had the river that was full, we would do a lot of things with that water to capture it and put it down back where we need it, where you can extract it later.
Instead, what's happening? Tell everybody around the world that's listening in that doesn't know, what happens to that water?
Like say, a lot of it goes out through the Delta. A lot of it went into the Tulare Lake and was pumped elsewhere. There were different things with high-speed rail. You know, they took a lot of that soil to make high-speed rail and made all these ponding basins. But guess what? They weren't connected to the river system to where we could use them to recharge groundwater.
Wow. It's who's in charge of that study? Who's that? Sounds like a big debacle.
Well, the trouble is government moves at the pace of cement, and you know, Mother Nature is very quick, and we just are not very good at being prepared as a government. Right. Yeah. And so we as growers now are forced with regulating groundwater to a high, high level. And this 2018 election is coming up. I think it's been something that's been in the works for a while. They've been trying to pass these GSPs for a little while. But communication hasn't been great. As I mentioned before, this podcast is going to be great because we can kind of get the word out with 1776 and connect with you guys to kind of help deliver the message and craft it a little bit. Because people need to understand what's happening and be informed. Because as we talked before, agriculture is something that touches every one of our lives, whether you know it or not, here in the Valley. It is this buoyancy that keeps the economy afloat. Kings County, within Kings County and all counties in California, the number one employer is government. That's just kind of across the board. But down here, the second.
That's insane to me, though, to think that there's more government employees in this county than there are growers or anybody that benefits from ag.
It doesn't seem sustainable to me, especially when you're relying on tax revenue. It's kind of incestuous, right? But someone else got that figured out, I guess. The largest employer is agriculture.
Right.
And that is the buoyancy that's keeping this county afloat to the level it is. Mm-hmm. And this regulation, while groundwater is not infinite, it is finite, there are ways though to buoyance that up and recharge it and those kinds of things, which I don't think we're doing a very good job of. But the trouble is that they're not taking any input from the local landowners, from the local economy, about how to go about this in a way that can still retain our groundwater for generations to come, but also allow us to farm today. And that's the main issue that I have right now, is that I think we're approaching this in all the wrong way.
Didn't the GSA, the local GSA, though, they've had quite a bit of time to come up with a solution, right? And how long? And they've sort of been, I don't know if they've been sitting on their hands. What do you think is the cause of them not really having a solution until the last moment and then coming over the top really hard on their final solution?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like you mentioned, I feel like all aspects of government flow really slow, GSAs included. There's been a lot of times where they have had time to put these GSPs together, submit them, and figure out what's going on. But on the other hand, the state isn't being very forthcoming with what they want either. They had to submit a GSP, get rejected to finally figure out what they wanted. That doesn't mean that it should take as long as it does to go on. It doesn't mean that the landowners should be caught off guard either. Because a lot of guys, they didn't know this was happening until they got a thing in the mail saying, hey, we're going to charge you $95 an acre foot, $100 an acre foot this year.
They might not have known how bad it was going to be, but they knew something was coming. I've been reading a lot on it today. Nobody should have been shocked or surprised, right, or what's coming down.
It wasn't shocked that it was happening. It was happening to the level of which it happened.
Yeah.
Right? That's the issue. SICPA has been something we've known about, but it's always been couched to the grower. It's like, yeah, it's coming, but it's going to be slow. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. But the acceleration pedal has been slammed down on guys, and I think it's caught some off guard.
Now, I want to ask, say that we can't do nothing to slow this down, to stop it, or to maybe bargain with the state to come up with a different solution. If this goes through, what's going to happen?
Well, it's going to be a lot of change, and it's going to be all bad. I think we do have an opportunity, though, to lessen the blow, right? And when you're in a situation like this, you can name a bunch of them. The outcomes are all bad, but you have different levels of bad, right? There's the bad that you can't live with. There's the bad that you can live with or adjust to. We want to get to the lowest level of bad that we possibly can. But what this is going to mean is, on the economic front, commodities are down right now. Yep. You know, guys aren't across making any money across the board. There isn't one crop you can grow that makes money. Wow. They're all trash. It's just sustaining right now and trying to get through this lull.
Even pistachios has always been one of the greatest ones. Uh-huh. It's not doing all that well either.
No, I mean, they're coming down. A lot of pressure in terms of oversupply and trying to find new markets. And so there's no place to run, right, for freedom, or, hey, we're going to do this to survive. So that leaves you with not a lot of options, right? On the economic front, the amount of money they want to charge for this is crippling. You know, let's just say a guy had to pump 3 feet of water, which is kind of one of the levels they're talking about limiting you to. They want to charge you $95 for that. So that would be 95 times three. There's a lot of guys that don't have $300 an acre in their budget to pay that.
So say you have a small 500 acres. Well, you can do the math on that, how much that would cost them. 500 acres isn't really nothing. That's yours. That's a small, small farm.
That is a small farm. It's bigger than average, but not great.
But if that small farmer's not making any money off his crops as it is, like you said, he's not.
You don't have a whole lot of pennies left in the barrel to pay, right?
So just to pump his water, not counting his electricity bill to pump it.
Exactly.
It's a $15,000 on 500 acres would be a $15,000 fee. And that's not even counting what you got to pay to pump it with electricity bill.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's economically, it's a lot of pressure. And I believe that the way it's going about it, there's a lot of improvement that can be done in terms of the way the GSP is put together and the way it's presented to the people. So that's a problem. But then there's a lot of people that rely on double cropping and things like that, more than 3 feet of water. So they're going to cap you in that regard, in terms of how much you can pump. And so that's going to restrict the economic engine that you have as a grower as well. So not only is it economic, but it's also just the logistics of running a farm are going to be a lot harder going forward with this. So when you look at this as a grower, you're tasked with this new tax, we'll say, or fee system, which is a part of SICPA. And you're like, how am I going to comply?
Yeah. How the hell do they comply with this?
I've talked to so many people, and the undercurrent of every conversation I've had is, I can't farm with this. I can't pay this. I can't make this work. It's not like, well, we could do it if we did this, or we could, if we grew this and did this, we could make that work. It's all bad. And so that has struck a chord of fear within the ag community that I haven't seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And
yeah. As I've been getting calls all day.
Have you really?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's been pretty bad. Yeah.
It's bad. It's made me think of antidepressants more than once. Just because it's depressing, right? It really is.
Yeah. This sounds like something that'd make, you know, somebody want to take their own life.
Yeah, well, it goes way beyond this. Now what's gonna happen is you're gonna see If this gets implemented, you'll see a lot of fallow ground coming up. You're going to see the land is going to be devalued if it's not already started already, right?
Oh, yeah.
The devaluation of land.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then somebody like Bill Gates can just come in and just swoop in and buy everything. Or yeah. Not even that. Not even him. He is, by the way, the largest farmland owner in the world. But then we have local guys, Vidovich, who else? Boswell. There are some large companies out here that could just as easily swoop in and buy that land at pennies on the dollar, right?
Yeah, what the end outcome is going to be, I'm not totally sure. But I think all options are on the table. Like you mentioned, it could be larger corporations getting bigger because they have the capital funds to buy this ground up and for reduced cost. I mean, there's a lot of different ways this can go. But the ultimate thing is that this is going to hurt the small family farmer. That's really? It. And it's going to hurt the people that go into local stores. It's going to hurt the people that prop up the local economy because when you're dealing with one landowner, that's one person. But one landowner, that's 150 of them here, right? 200 of them here. And they spend their money here in the city of Hanford, in the city of Lemoore, in the county of Kings. And if those goes away, it's not only going to hurt them, it's going to hurt everybody else because those dollars are going to be concentrated somewhere else. And so right. I think this is an issue that is big for the farmer, but it's also big for the county. It's big for the city. It's big for all of them. And I would love to... There's been a lot of things within agriculture that have caused a lot of concern, whether it be pesticides being taken away, whether it be water in localized areas. But this is one that's touching everybody. And so I think this is a great cause to get around and generate some focused momentum. And we're going to need it.
Yeah,
if we're going to survive to some degree in this valley.
You were saying that how many different jobs, how many different people are affected by ag, not just the farmers, but
yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit here?
Yeah, so I do sit on Farm Bureau, and we did something because we knew about, like, say, Sigma. You mentioned, John, it's been something that's been on people's minds for a while. We just didn't know what it was going to be like, right? That was the problem. It's like it's coming, but you could never really get a whole lot of straight answers out of anybody. Well, now we have them. So we did something with the Economic Development Corporation in Kings County, and just the tax portion from agriculture supports a ton of things, right? So 256 teachers are paid for by the taxes on agriculture, and that's not only property tax, that's meal tax, that's taxes on spending, that's everything that's attributed to agriculture.
Directly pays for teachers.
Directly
in the
pays for 256 teachers in wow. the in Kings County. 149 firefighters as well, library workers, other county staff. Another $8 million is to special districts, redevelopment, those kinds of things. So it's touching not only people that work here and save lives, it's touching people that teach your kids, it's touching people that
educate, protect,
fix roads,
right.
Yeah, fix roads, put in parks, you name it. But of that money, which is a little over $33 million as of 2020, so this needs to be updated a little bit to increase the, as you mentioned before, inflation has gone up, so that number has gone up as well. 51% goes to schools, 22% goes to county and fire, 6% goes to city budgets, special districts, meaning like county islands, things like that. So it has a real big impact beyond just agriculture.
Right.
And that's why being with you guys here is good because I want to get the word out to other people other than ag to say, hey, this is a big issue that you need to pay attention to.
And yeah. what is, if you could frame it, what is the message, you know, the direct message that you'd like to get out to people that are listening in right now?
The direct message is that, number one, it's like the one we always say, be informed and be involved, right? So understand what's going on. Understand what's happening here in terms of the dollars that are going into your schools and your area, but be involved, you know, join or be a part of something like 1776 that will get you the information you need. But the other one is be a part of ag groups too, right? So one of them is the Delta View Water Alliance that I'm part of.
Okay.
And so that is a group that's coming into Kings County. They were operating in a county to the east of us, the Greater Cahuilla GSA District, and the growers didn't have any representation. So they came together and they banded together and formed this group, and they were able to have a seat at the table and really make things better for themselves going forward.
Now they were not an irrigation district, right?
So they are, but there is a large portion that's called the white area over there. Yes. They are solely groundwater.
Groundwater, no connection to canals or
anything.
Oh, any okay.
So they have no connection to surface water at all, and they pull strictly out of groundwater. So okay. They are totally reliant.
So you can imagine right now what they're thinking with this.
Yeah. I mean, and so, and yeah. But even like I mentioned, we have plenty of water, but we manage it like shit. Even if you have surface water, you don't have all the water you need. You still rely on groundwater to shore up what you have to have. And so whether you're in a white area, whether you're in a water district, you still need to rely on groundwater. So this is important for you. But Delta View started over there and they gave these growers a voice, and they were able to sit with that GSA and talk with the state and come up with a plan that was at least amenable for the time frame, and they can have a hand going forward in how this is going to be shaped. Here, these growers you're talking about at Kings County, we don't have that, but Delta View is coming over this way. And so I would love to team up with 1776 and talk about that at our meeting in March 4th.
Yep, next Monday, right? Week from today, yep.
And nice. So that's going to be a topic, and what it's about is it's a grower-funded, grower-driven group, so that we are not fractured. We are together, kind of like you at 1776. You guys are a group together and you go against things as a group, because I think that's one of the things the state really banks on is that, and even some of these GSAs, that people stay separate. They fight with each other and they're easier to take down, right?
Well, you're easier to control when you're separated.
Exactly.
Divide and conquer.
And that's the government strategy right there.
It is. It totally is.
So with Delta View, we don't want to have that happen. We want to be solid and together. Mm-hmm. And I'm under no illusions that it's going to give everybody what they want, because SGMA is here. It's part of legislation. It is a law. We're going to have to comply with it. But there are, you ever heard the term, it's not what you say, it's how you say it?
Yeah.
It's going to be here. There's different ways to approach it. I think that if we can come alongside growers and help them with this, give them the information they need, give them the tools they need, and have a seat at the table to craft this legislation, how it's implemented, it's going to be better for everybody. Yeah.
And that's another thing, as I'm learning about all this over the last week, do all the growers, do they have all that information? Do they understand really what's going on? Or is the meeting like next week really going to help them all to understand the full development of what's really happening, what's really going on?
I think the meeting next week is a good starting off point. So as we were talking maybe at the beginning of this podcast or before, that, you know, SGMA's been something that people have known about it, but it's been this kind of gray area thing that has been there. But the term, the number, the year 2040 gets thrown out there. And the misconception is we got till 2040 till we have to worry about it. Well, no, you have to be sustainable by 2040. That means that they're going to implement plans sooner than that so that you can be sustainable in the eyes of the state. And so there's been misconceptions. There's been this vacuum of information that's allowed things to kind of grow. And I think that the reality is hit now that people have got these letters in the mail that said, hey, starting next year, this is how much groundwater you can get. We're going to start charging you for it. And it's caused a lot of panic. Yep. And so I think this meeting starting on the 4th is going to be a great way to get people in one room and talk about what we're dealing with. I think it's a great way to tell them, like, hey, like we just mentioned before, you may not all be farmers, but you all rely on farmers just like we farmers rely on you guys. If we get together, we can be better than if we're separate. And then, from an ag focus point of view, we want to introduce Delta View as a grower focused organization that can go talk to these GSAs and even the state water board and say, this is what we're facing, guys. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, is if they want to charge this amount of money, if it puts people out of business, they don't get much money. Right? Because if that farm isn't working and generating, there's no dollars coming off of it to go back to the state, to go back to the GSA, to go back to funding well mitigation and all these different things. And so it behooves them to have a seat at the table as well and discuss something. And I feel like if you're not on the table, you're on the menu. And I do not want to be on the
menu. I like that. If you're not on the table, you're on the menu.
I do not want to be on the menu on this one. So I'm going to do everything I can to be a part of the solution and part of something that makes, Kings County great for the next 100 years.
So SGMA came through in 2014 And ever since then, we've seen the effects of, well, like the Green New Deal, you know, all of those policies have been coming in here. And you mentioned sustainability. Is this is all for climate change? Is that what this is all about? When you mentioned the sustainability, is that what we're going towards here in 2040?
You know,
it has to be a part of it,
right?
I imagine,
yeah,
right?
You know, you have this whole outlook of being sustainable, and that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of people, a lot of different industries.
I think this county's been sustainable for a couple centuries now already without all of this government overreach.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a pretty good job. We really have. I personally, now I'm taking a personal look at this. I think the agriculture kind of got, I'll say, a little off base when Wall Street got involved.
Yeah. When water became a commodity. I've been saying that for a long time.
And you know, it used to be something that was slow, it was stable, it was consistent. And it looked at, and now ag has been turned into something as like a big business. And when you look at every other business that goes on that way, when it turns into money driving things that sometimes, you know, leaving it as you found it doesn't exactly apply anymore, right? So am I going to say that regulating groundwater is 100% terrible? Probably not, because it is falling. Water levels are dropping. But again, I go back to, it's how you implement it, because you can do something and go back to what you mentioned. Kings County has been sustainable for a long time. And I think we can get to that, and it can be good for everybody. They can still farm. We can still make sure that we keep groundwater levels where they are. But I'd love the state to play a part. I mean, it'd be great if we put in a water infrastructure project and didn't have it sit like Sykes Reservoir did, you know, or raising these reservoirs. You know, we get those water bonds passed, and yeah, they pass, but guess what? The metrics are never possible to get past it.
Well, how long is that Independence Dam they've been trying to put up there?
Forever.
We need more reservoirs. We need more dams.
You got Sykes. You've got, Raising Pine Flat, Raising Shasta was another one. And we had that water bond that happened years ago, and that money got passed. It passed everything, but the metrics are so high to get by, they never let it get through.
Jeez.
And so that's the kind of stuff that really puts a bad taste in my mouth when we talk about water, because this state is, it's an amazing place to live from a geographical perspective. You got agriculture, you got Yosemite, you got the coast, you got all this stuff. It's got everything you want.
Yep.
The politics just ruin everything.
Yeah, we got dumbasses running our state. And simply put it that, we got dumbasses running our state.
Actually,
I like what Art Thompson said, JBS, shout out. With the government, there are no accidents.
Yeah. If it happens in politics, it happens for a reason.
So I should say they're dumbasses. That's what I like to say. It is a reason. They're not stupid.
I'm telling you, these policies they're putting in place are to kill us. They're trying to kill you. They're trying to kill your family. They don't want you being able to farm and raise your own food and eat and sustain your own lifestyle. They want you eating government-modified food. They want you on your universal basic income.
The Impossible Burger.
Well,
oh, my God.
I think as we saw with COVID, control is definitely a great commodity that they love to have, right? And so I think this is another way of gaining some control, and a lot of people in government are very happy with that.
Yeah.
So
I noticed I always got pissed off when the water Nazi, I call him, the guy in the little Prius cruises around my neighborhood and hands out the pink slip if I'm watering on the wrong day or if I'm watering too much, and I'm like, bro. The drought is over, okay? There's a lake in the middle of Tulare, right? Like, it's back. Like, there's no more flood. And yet you've got this guy from the county or from the city driving around collecting money from people who are using their water unsustainably, in their opinion. It has always pissed me off because they've taken away the ability for me to water my garden, my plants, and all that on certain days of the week, and they're never going to give that back to me. That's just a small sample, but they're never going to be able to, I'm never going to be able to water freely on a Saturday afternoon ever again.
Yeah, the optics are bad when you have worrisome flooding and they're giving out pink slips. I will give you that. And you hit on something else. I think this is what worries growers too, is that once they take it, they're never giving it back.
No.
And so whether it be, you know, taxes that are levied through a 2018 election, and we can talk about whether that's good or bad, or fees that are going for pumping or restrictions on water. The fear is that once they're there, they're never going away. And if you look back at agriculture's history, we have a really bad problem of just giving things away. And then you end up where you are on an island and you don't have any leverage. And that is, sadly, I think where the state's at, and I am hopeful, maybe to a fault and maybe to my own demise, that this might be the unifying issue that can kind of get some people on board. I'm hoping. I don't know that history really supports me in that end, but but we're gonna try. So
when was the last time the farmers, the growers, the agricultural community in general, when was the last time they really all got together to fight something like this?
In my lifetime, I really can't remember. Because we've laid it all out in this podcast that California is the most expensive state in the union. It is the most highly regulated state that we have. It's hard to do business here. It is very hard. And if you are presented with an issue that affects your neighbor but not you, it's real easy to sit back and be like, well, sucks to be him. You know, and there have been a lot of issues that haven't been very widespread. I mean, I named them before. You got the Westlands water thing going on there, the water wars we had years ago.
Yep.
You've got regulations. They're trying to take away some neonic. It's a class of chemistry for tomatoes. Well, the guy who doesn't grow tomatoes is like, well, good thing I don't grow tomatoes. You know, it's those kinds of
good
things.
Good thing,
right?
I got pistachios.
Yeah,
right?
Good thing I got pistachios. Good thing I don't farm in Westland. You know, you name it. There's all those kinds of things that happen.
But now this is going to affect.
This is statewide. I mean, we still have some fraction of that because you go northern in the state, they have more water up there in terms of surface water than we do. But in terms of Kings County, Fresno County, the whole sub basin, basically Southern California, we are united in that Sigma is going to attack everybody. Whether you grow crop A, crop B, whatever it may be, it is going to affect your business. And so it's got the best chance that I've seen in my lifetime of unifying people. And I hope it can happen.
And if that does happen, say we get the word out, say that they do come together for the fight. Where is the fight? What's the next step? I guess I'm going to say. Say we get people together. What's the next step? Are they contacting their representative, their assemblyman, their legislature, their congressman? Who are they contacting? Where should the fight be taken? To this meeting next week?
So I think it's a couple different places. I think it's always great to write your congressman, senator, whatever it is. It's probably a complete waste of time, but it's a great exercise to do. I think that's step one. I think step two is attend this meeting on the 4th. I think step three is listen at that meeting about what Delta View is about and think about joining Delta View as a grower. I think that's a good thing. And that is going to provide us a very unified front to try and have an impact of change here. I think the other part of that is just pay attention from here on out. Because things have changed rapidly in the last 4 months.
I'm glad he wasn't here for that.
Yeah.
Would have hit him right in the head.
Exactly. I guess John has left the podcast. I think pay attention from here on out because this is not going away. And be open to the ideas. Be open to working with other growers. Try and put aside some personal thoughts on this and just be open to listening to other sides. and that would be really good.
Your mic fell down. Is what I'm trying to tell you. Your microphone fell on the ground.
Clip that out. Okay.
Clip it back on the end of the table.
Yeah. How'd it fall down?
Well, you know, it's on plastic. You know,
there's a ghost.
It could be. All right. I'm sorry. What was the last thing we were talking about?
Yeah. What do we do going forward? And I had mentioned, like, say, writing the congressman and everyone in government is a great thing.
Okay.
I don't know if it works, if it's a waste of time, it very well could be, but it's a good exercise to do.
And Jeff, who we can do that through, the John Birch Society, correct?
That's right, man.
It has all the information, what local congressmen, what's your area, who to contact. It will even has the email for you, has what to say. You hit a button, it does it for you.
And that's perfect. And because there's a lot of people that don't know who their congressman is, who's my senator, who's my assemblyman.
Yeah.
They don't know any of that stuff. And so having something very easy, that's great.
Yep.
Working with them and doing that kind of stuff. Thank you.
Yeah.
The other one is be involved going forward. So whether that be you as a grower or a supporting, you know, someone in agriculture, like a business wants to join Delta View, learn about Delta View on the 4th, come to the 4th.
Okay.
Cause I think that's gonna be a very informational meeting.
Yeah.
If Delta View is something you want to be a part of, look into that, talk to us and see if that's something you want to do.
And then March 5th, we're voting, right? I mean, everybody's hopefully going in person to drop off their ballots or to vote, in person on March 5th. So it's very appropriate that we're all going to get together and go to this meeting. Where is this meeting being held and how many people can it hold in there?
You talking on the 4th?
On the 4th, yeah.
It can hold roughly about 250 people in here.
So we need to get some more people there. Is that what we're
I think we're going to, it's going to be packed in
all right.
Here.
Yeah, so you can find more information on Facebook, 1776 Sons of Liberty, Hanford chapter on Facebook. So Water Dam, you feel like, you know, being aware of what's going on, not going back to sleep on this, you feel like, from what I'm hearing you say, is this Sigma is going to come through. Something's going to happen where they're going to have to tax this groundwater. But let me ask you this.
Yep.
Is there any chance that this gets defeated?
You know, I don't know that it gets defeated. Like we talked about taxes before, once they do them, they never go away. Mm-hmm. Regulation is the same thing. If you could name me a few regulations they put in that they've taken away.
It's ever been retracted. I can't think of one.
I don't think of any. So I'm being a realist in that regard, is that it's going to probably be here to stay. But where I'm trying to be very hopeful is that we can shape what it is and how it's approached. So I think that if anybody thinks Sigma is not going to be a problem for me, I'm not going to comply. At some point, you're going to have to pay the piper to some degree. And I think that ignoring it is going to be to your own peril. And hopefully, you mentioned, John, you got a lot of calls. I've got a lot of calls. People understand that this is a problem now. And it's better late than never. And so it's never too late either to be involved. And so I think, like I said before, if you are not at the table, you're on the menu. And so everyone needs to be involved to some degree. Just know what's going on and make their voice heard. And so that's what I would say is the best thing we can hope for right now. Because up until this point, there hasn't been a whole lot of community involvement, even in the ag community. Because like I mentioned before, it passed in 2014. The year 2040 was there. 2040 is a long time away.
Sure.
Right? Long time away. We had COVID in between that and that whole shit show that happened. I mean, there are a lot of diversions that were going on in terms of, mine power, right? We were thinking about different things. But it is here today. And they want us to be sustainable today so that we are sustainable in 2040. And so while I understand everyone kind of forgot about it for a while, that time has passed. So
do you think we got to look at the European model that just happened in the last couple months and flood the capital with a lot of heavy equipment, tractors, trucks. I mean,
manure.
Manure.
Yeah.
It works, as we've seen time and time before. I know in the 70s when we had a gas shortage, all the truckers flooded Washington, D.C., parked their trucks. And
they got ourselves a convoy.
Yeah, they did. They flooded, and it worked.
Yeah.
The power is in the people, and that's one thing I was noticing. Do we think that all these growers, farmers, dairymen who use a lot of water as for the cows, we got to get them together.
Yeah,
they got to come together at some point. Yep. And this is, if we don't come together on this, there's just no hope.
I don't, and that's what I was telling Jeff while you stepped out, is that you know, there have been a lot of different things that have come up that have hurt individual farmers. Westside Water being one. Taking away chemistry for a certain crop, it might be. And if you're not a grower that's farming over there or a grower that doesn't farm that crop, it's very easy to say, well, good thing I'm not doing that. Good thing I don't farm over there. Kind of sucks to be them, right? Because California is the most expensive state in the union. It's between us and New York, I'd say, is the most regulated, the most taxed. It is so expensive to do business here that I feel for the grower that does that, or I don't feel, but I understand their viewpoint in that at least I can make a dollar today. You know, they can't make a dollar today, but at least I can, right? There's not a lot of dollars going around. But this issue is not that way. And so if this doesn't get us together, I'm with you, John. I don't know what can. But that's why I'm kind of hopeful, because this touches everybody. Whether you're growing crop A, whether you're in Westlands, whether you're here, everybody has to have water to grow a crop.
Yes.
No matter what crop it
right.
is. And everybody, to some degree, not everyone in the north part of the state, but in the, I'd say the middle south, relies on groundwater to some degree as well. So, you know, short, tall, you know, tomato grower, almond grower, black, white, whatever it is, yeah. this affects you.
What about California's newest cash crop there, the cannabis industry? I mean, they're affected too, right?
Oh, they have to be. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, again, I don't care if you're growing it for Snoop Dogg or you're growing it to eat. It takes water.
Right.
And so they aren't going to be, you know, released from this at all. But the thing that really makes it important that we get together too is that I mentioned earlier, agriculture has become a big business, a big, big business. And there are forces at work in this group, whether it be large corporate entities, whether it be investment funds, whether it be individuals with lots and lots of money and power, they control a lot. And the worrisome part of this is that they would either enjoy chaos or sow chaos to keep people divided.
Sure.
Because that creates opportunity for them, whether it be more water for them that they can pump or more surface water they can use, or picking up ground from small growers that can't do business anymore. You know, there are those things that can happen. And that's why the growers in Kings County that are average small growers need to come together and be together, because we said it before, together you are strong, separated you are weak. And if we do not come together, then we don't have a shot in hell.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's like, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, just like, you know, all these companies that are taken because of taxes, and then Trump brought them back when he was in his presidency from 16 to 20. Do you think a lot of these big time investors, a lot of these groups, will just take their money, if the bag ain't working for them, and go elsewhere with it?
Oh yeah,
and take them out of this valley, which will then kill us even more.
Yeah, no, I mean, investment money's always been looked at as short term, right? So you have a lot of insurance companies, hedge funds, lots of retirement companies that buy ground. They don't take losses for a long time. It's not like me or you, John. Where
they got
like,
an answer to their investors.
Exactly. They got investors. They got boards. They got all these things. I look at the chemical industry. I was in that for a long time, ag chemical. And mergers and acquisitions were big because they had to keep the board happy. They had to keep money flowing. And if it's not providing money or return or something, they pull out. There's been some high profile bankruptcies lately of big, large corporate farms. Mm-hmm. And,
just one the other day, right?
Just one the other day. And so those are aspects of like, hey, hedge fund runs out of money. We got to pull out. And so that's what I mean. This has kind of created this wheel that's moving very fast, very, very fast. Lots of money being generated. And now, this wheel could stop moving very, very quickly, or slow down very quickly and cause a lot of damage. But the growers I'm talking to right now that I want to get together are not the massive growers. Sure, I want them there. I do. But it's the guys that are there when shit is bad. They're still farming because that's what they've been doing. They are me.
Right.
They have been farming
hundreds
since
of
the
years.
Last century. Right. This is what they do. And, you know, again, I mentioned I am the vice president of the Kings County Farm Bureau. And when I joined Farm Bureau years ago, they asked me, one of the questions is, why do you want to be a part of Farm Bureau? And it wasn't because I want to be on a board or because I want to do this. I said, I was given the opportunity to grow up in the country and farm, and I want my kids to have the same thing. If I can do anything to help that, I'm game.
Yeah.
This is the same thing.
Yeah.
If I can do anything to keep agriculture going, whether it be my farm, other people's, whoever it is, it's good for me. It's good for everybody. And that's what I want.
Good.
So, and I think that's good for all of Kings County.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, we the people, right? JD, that's what we've often said. We've got the power. We just need to take it back.
The power's in the people.
It is.
You know, that's why we the people, you said it exactly right.
Yep.
But too many problems with capitalism a lot of times, everybody's looking at their own bank account. They're looking at their own wallet.
That's it. They're worried about, you know, like, I mean, it's expensive to farm here. It's expensive to work here.
And then it has to be
something so bad till they finally get together. But usually by that time, it's too
it's
far
crumbled. Gone. It's yeah. crumbled.
Well, I hope it's not too late this time.
And we're trying to preempt that. Yeah. I think there's a chance here to do that.
Okay.
I really do. I think that there is a possibility of getting together and making something out of this. Is it going to be perfect? No. It isn't going to be perfect, but it's going to be better than if we do nothing. Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
It will be.
So you got to keep on swinging. Hey, I tell my wife that all the time. I said, hey, I keep on swinging. You just never know. There's a punch of chance. But if I sit back and do nothing,
you know what you're going to get.
We know what we're going to get. The state's going to take
over. You're going to get knocked the heck out.
The government's yeah. coming in, knocking down the door, and going to take everything anyway.
I'd be anxious to see what happens with that that farm that you just said went for bankruptcy, that big.
Yeah.
I'd be anxious to see who comes in, who swoops in and buys that property, because I have a feeling that this is all going by design. This is not stupid politicians who are up there not knowing. I believe everything that they are doing,
global conspiracy.
Yes, they're doing
the new world order. Buddy.
They're doing what they're told to do.
I can't discount that. There's a lot of options on the table, and that's definitely one of them. You know, you never know. Control.
Yep.
Control is a commodity too.
It is.
And if they can gain more of it, then they're going to take it.
They're dirtying the air. They're polluting and taxing us on the water and the food that we ate, you know, if it's not farm grown, if it's not farm to table, you know.
Only our state would tax cow farts. Remember that. Cow burps and cow farts, there buddy. That's where we're at. That is California in a nutshell.
And you know, one thing I'll say is, it looks like we're closing here in a second, Jeff, is that you mentioned, you know, they want us to farm or want us to eat, you know, genetically modified food, not genetically modified, but, you know, synthetic food or
synthetic,
something.
Synthetic, yeah, lab-grown meat.
I think that could be a step. I think the initial step, though, and this is why California doesn't care, is that they'll just export more. We'll get more out of Mexico. We'll get more out of Chile, South America, something like that. But that does two things. Number one, if you look at our standards of quality and safety, they are second to none.
Yeah, because Mexico, they don't have to go by the same regulations.
I mean,
look at
everything else that Mexico does. Even if they have a law, do they follow it? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things. Now, granted, if you're importing it, it has to meet some criteria. But the problem is, it's coming from another country that doesn't have the levels and control that we have. And the other elevation of that is just, I think, national safety and security. Because if you think about this, if we shut down farms systematically of making food and we rely on that elsewhere, what does that give other countries?
The ability to
control us.
Control
right?
our food supply, our soldiers' food supply.
Exactly. And so not only would it be controlled, but we wouldn't know the quality of what it is. And that scares
me. Yeah. So I remember when Clinton was in office, I remember we got the strawberries from Mexico and in the Midwest. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All these schools, kids got sick and everywhere. And that was food coming
from Mexico into the schools.
It was all over the Midwest in our country, yes.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean, that's the thing that worries me, too, is this progressive, you know, everybody wants to go to the store and have tomatoes all year round. They want to have lettuce all year round. I understand that. But that's not the norm without importing food. And that is step one to losing control of your food supply. And I think that desensitizes the public as well. It's like, okay, so what if we lose the farmers? We're still going to have food in the grocery store. You know, and that's not... not exactly where you want to be.
No. Go ahead, John.
No, I agree. I agree. I just said, time to wrap it up, buddy.
Yeah. We got to wrap this one up.
All right.
So the fight is on, the fight for water, and this is a big one. And we want a lot of people to get together on this. March 4th, there's a big meeting. Where is that being taken place at?
That is here, right?
The Hanford Elks Lodge here in Hanford, California. And we're covering Fresno County, Tulare County, Kings County, and this affects everybody.
It affects the entire San Joaquin Valley.
Not just the farmers. It affects everybody that lives in this valley.
Yeah. Waterdam mentioned it earlier. How many people are affected by ag? I mean, teachers. Firefighters.
Yep, heavily. So it impacts them, it impacts us, it impacts everybody that's listening to this right now. So I encourage you to get involved.
Get involved, stay involved, and thanks for listening in. And until we're back again, you stay frosty, my friends.
Stay free.